The Nevers, episode 6. There is so much to talk about today. We're going to get into it. Plus, we are talking to Laura Donnelly and Zachary Omomo, also known as Amalia True and Horatio Cousins. Let's get into it, guys. Welcome back to another episode of The Touch Base, HBO's official podcast for The Nevers. There's so much to talk about today. Oh my God, this episode was a doozy. We have so much to discuss. Plus, as I mentioned at the top, we have Laura Donnelly, who plays Amalia, and Zachary Omomo, who plays Horatio, joining us for an interview later this episode. We're your hosts. I'm Barbara Dunkelman.
I'm Jessica Vasami.
And today we are joined by the fabulous Charlotte McGrath once again to talk about episode 6. Charlotte!
I'm back. You can't keep me away.
We've tried.
Excited that you're back, Charlotte. Can't wait to... You were on what? Episode 2 with us?
2, yeah. Despite your best efforts, I have found my... weaseled my way back into the touch base.
Absolutely.
As soon as I saw episode 6, I marched down the hall to your office that you both share at the office we all still all go to, and I banged on the door and I was like, you have to let me on because I love time and space. And
and there was a lot of that this episode.
In spades, certainly.
So the opening of the show, I'm sure you guys were just like me and you had to like pause the episode and be like, am I watching the correct show right now? Like, did you double check that you were watching The Nevers?
For the first few minutes, I was like, am I watching the right thing? I obviously it's a very different feel to the rest of the season and how it's been, and it's a different era as mm-hmm. well, which is takes you back for a second. And then I started to think about this show and how it's thrown us in so many different loops that I started to realize this is the show mm-hmm. and this is yet another unexpected twist that they're just, you're jumping right in right at the start right
now. Right. Yeah, and we learned that this opening scene is a dystopian future, basically.
Yes. And that it all revolves around this thing that we've been talking about all season long, which is the Galanthi. Mm-hmm. And we finally mm-hmm. realize it's essentially an alien species, still kind of uncertain there, mm-hmm. but at least we know a little bit more about what they're referring to as the Galanthi.
Yeah, and that, it's some kind of something.
And that the humans are basically just trying to survive. And that the planet, our planet, is dying. There's a lot of, I know Nitter was saying that there's a lot of famine and floods and terra storms and stuff like that. So clearly the planet is in a lot of help, and apparently the Galanthi can save it. Or so we hope.
Very so, depressing.
Hopefully.
Future.
It is.
Not great. Could you imagine living in some high tech time where there's famines and all sorts of issues and storms?
We'll be long gone by then, hopefully.
God, to think.
Unless we get transported into another dimension or time or space, who knows? Yeah.
And, you know, we actually, because I know that, you know, from episode 1, we were speculating and trying to figure out what are the kind of orb-like things that were falling from the sky. We learned that now they are called spores. They actually have a name, which I was
beautiful dust from the sky, as we refer to it probably in episode 1.
I was very relieved to finally have some sort of name attached to that and kind of figure out what that was.
So we've learned a lot in this episode, one of which was very surprising to me, is that the Galanthi form these attachments to the people taking care of it. Mm-hmm. And we later found out it was being tortured by having these people be killed in front of it mm-hmm. as a way of like getting answers out of the Galanthi or talking to it. Mm-hmm. And that was super tragic and very graphic to see all those naked bodies hung up there, just bloody.
Yeah. So do we think, so was that the free lifers that were torturing the, explain that to me, because that's part maybe I'm a little confused on.
Yeah. So from what I gathered watching it, I believe the free lifers came and killed these people. Or tortured them in front of the Galanthi mm-hmm. in order to make the Galanthi miserable and want to stop this from happening or give them answers in some sort of capacity. Mm-hmm. Because the Galanthi cared about the people taking care of it. And yeah. So
and we see in those files, one of the other scientists that I guess unfortunately was killed had a very playful relationship with the Galanthi, which was actually really cute to see. But we move forward and we jump into Molly's backstory, Amalia Molly, yes. Before she was Amalia. And what'd you guys think about that? What'd you think about Molly's backstory?
Tragic.
Yeah, tragic. It's sad, and then it's made sadder by the fact, because as I was figuring out how the rules of this all worked with, like, mm-hmm. Zephyr, as we know her, being, like, transported into Amalia's body, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, they coexist, or, like, is she melding with the other one? And then I was like, no, I think she did jump in that river and die, right?
Yeah.
So every time she's like, this is God's plans for us. And I was mm-hmm. like, ah, but you'll be a badass superwoman. And then it's actually, no, that she just has a miserable Victorian life. And that's it.
Yeah. You know, and that time, a lot of women in that time did. I mean, there's that one, I forget what episode it was, but it might have been episode 5 is when Amalia and Penance, they're on the stairs kind of having an argument. And she was just like, you know, I'm here and as a woman and I could, you know, get murdered just for having a voice, you know. Mm-hmm. Again, all of this is just crashing down inside my brain and all the pieces are now forming together. But yeah, it is sad for Molly and her having to marry a man that she clearly did not love as well.
Yeah, it just didn't have fulfilling or happy life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still impressive to me that she kept the last name true. Mm. And I was actually quite surprised by that. There was a moment when they introduced, you know, the guy she married, his mother, and said, like, Mrs. True. And I was like, oh, does she become her? And like, there's a moment where I just, oh, wait, she married him. That's why her last name is True. Okay, now it's making sense. I thought for some reason, like, the old lady was going to be her in the future. It was just like, my brain started doing all types of gymnastics at that
point. Oh, yeah, definitely. I was like, when I saw the old woman, I was like, this reminds me of Amalia. And I'm like, but this is so far in the future. And I was like, what if Penance's turn made civilization advance so much faster? And then I was like, oh, no, it's not that at all.
One of my favorite moments, though, of the entire series so far is when this character, Zephyr, gets put into Molly's body, mm-hmm. and you hear this like really crass American accent coming out of our beautiful, precious Amalia.
That was great.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was so, I was just entertained the entire time. And her learning a British accent and how to fit in that society was very impressive. I don't know if I could do it in the amount of time she did it in.
Yeah, which, I mean, we also find out that Dr. Cousins was pretty much one of the first people to know about Amalia. She told her story to him and then also was there when he learned that he had also been touched with his healing.
Magic hands.
Yeah, which is very interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot that went on in this episode. I also quickly wanted to touch on seeing Malady or Sarah finally in her Sarah form in this episode. And how Dr. Haig came to this mental facility and talked to them. And we don't know what his conversation with Sarah was like, but I mean.
Yep.
And the letter.
Yeah. And what really happened between Molly and Sarah at that time, because I think it was episode 1 in the factory, you know, or was it 2? Either episode 1 or episode 2 where they kind of confront each other and we have that moment. Yeah. Of where she calls her Molly for this first time and asks, like, why did you do this to me? And it was all answered, thankfully.
And then, of course, one of the last things that happens in the episode that we see, which is, I think, really exciting for us, is the return of Beth, who saved Amalia in that moment.
She was one of the people that, you know, was being worked on by Dr. Haig. And we never really got any answers as to who those people are working down there, because I mean, we assume that they are the patients, I guess we could call them, of Dr. Haig. But like,
who
when
are
he is
touched,
exactly. And so when he is working on their brains, what happens to them after? And I think, like, in a previous episode, I had mentioned, oh, maybe he takes away that I guess power or turn away from them. But it was very interesting. We see here that Beth still does have her turn. And in the end did save Amalia. So now
I guess whatever testing he's doing is not taking away their turn, which is good to know.
Yeah.
Because they do say that spores as they exist in the future are like those people are emphatically, or, you know, they are more compassionate. It's not like they have little superpowers, but it's about awakening a part in the brain. So I'm guessing that there must be some comparable part of the brain that Dr. Haig is looking for. I don't know, but
yeah,
that's my guess.
Yeah. And even like Amalia in Dr. Cousin's office was even like, you know, where she comes from, Zephyr, it does make them more compassionate, more understanding, all of that. But in this time, it's different. And she's like, I'm confused too. So it's like, okay, well, I guess we all are.
Well, but speaking of Amalia, or shall we say Zephyr, now that we know, we should dive a little deeper into her, because she had the biggest episode of the season.
Yeah. So, I mean, I know we've been referring to her as Zephyr, but we know her full name now. And then, you know, it's remember that episode where Amalia's in the carriage with the Beggar King, and she's like, this is not my face, you know, all those questions.
And now we know why.
It's Zephyr.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. I get it. I see now. I understand. I see everything. I see the code.
I know.
Okay. Yes. We're in it.
Zephyr Alexis Naveen. Yeah. So yeah.
Beautiful name. Rolls right off the tongue.
It brings into clarity a lot of things. Like when she kept talking about like the time she spent in war and the things she's seen, I was always like, I feel like they didn't really let women get up to that back then. Like that wasn't part of it. And now I understand that's not what she was talking about, but
yeah. And it was those like little things that she would say, like in that conversation at the opera with Lord Masson. And he was like, well, how do you know that I was in the war? And she's like, I can tell it's in the eyes. Like all those little small things are now, they all have added up to this episode.
Like, previous Molly would have no idea. She'd probably be like, oh, very well. Yes, thank you.
Yeah,
like being very proper.
Would
and
you
polite.
Like a butter scotch, a cricket?
Yep. Yep. Please. And then obviously all of her badass fighting skills.
Yeah,
which finally
cool.
it all clicked, as you said, Charlotte, saw the code in that moment where I was like, that's why she could fight. It's because she's this badass soldier from the future in this tiny little frame.
Yeah. And, you know, that she, by the end of it, has truly embraced this role of the leader of, I guess, the orphanage. And she's going to tell everybody at the orphanage the truth.
Yeah.
I wonder how that's going to go down. I mean, so like, far, everybody's been pretty, you know, Horatio and Penance. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just so glad that things are finally coming together in the way that I love that the series does, where it kind of gives you a very straightforward answer. Like, she talks about how she doesn't know what her mission is. And it's true, because she was transported back to this time period in this body of this person she doesn't know to do something that she's not quite sure of.
Yeah.
From the Galanthi who put her there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was running the whole time. I'm like, how do you not know? How do you not know what you're supposed to be doing?
You're right. I was 100%. I was wondering the same thing. I'm like, how do you not understand this? I mean, because in Zephyr's mind, she was, you know, going to kill herself. She drank all that toxic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So next thing she knows, she's waking up in like the Victorian era. Where,
in the body of someone else who was trying to kill themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe
yeah. I love how Dr. Cousins was just like, well, I mean, the body wasn't being used. I was like, touche. Might as well use it. Here we go.
Yeah, not really.
Here she is. Yeah.
I thought that her struggle to lead and have what something to work towards was metaphorical. And I was like, you know what, sister, I feel you. I've been there. I get it. And it's like, oh, no, you literally were waiting on directives from an alien creature deep below the city that you've been sent from the future to. Got it.
Yep.
And I also say to that, sister, I hear you.
Yeah.
I've been there.
That's such a mood, right? 2021.
Right.
We're all just waiting
God.
For alien orders to come in.
Yeah, I'm waiting to just drill straight down into the ground and just be like, I drank a lot. I ate coolant and I took fiend. And the Galanthi, and I just don't know what's gonna happen next.
And Charlotte, then you get admitted to a medical ward, and just from spouting out all these terms that people who don't watch the Nevers don't know.
Cool.
Well, we've talked about Amalia. We're all gushing about the storyline and everything that happened in this episode. We get to talk to Amalia herself, Laura Donnelly, and Horatio Cousins, Zachary Momo, in this interview right now.
Welcome, welcome to the Touch Base again. We are joined by the amazing Laura Donnelly, who plays Amalia, and Zachary Momo, who plays Horatio, Dr. Cousins. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi. Hey.
How are you?
Very well. Thank you. How are you guys?
Good. Happy to have you back, Laura, and so excited to have you for the first time. Zachary.
Good to see you for the first time.
We know that you guys just watched episode 6 pretty much right before this. Is that correct?
Yeah, a couple of hours ago.
Where do we even start?
Now we can talk about everything. Oh, it's such a relief.
Yeah. I know. It's been a long while.
In 2 Absolutely. Years of keeping secret.
Oh my gosh.
That must be so crazy to watch your performances from 2 years ago on something that is just coming out now.
Yeah, well, it was definitely like that with the first 4 episodes because they were shot a good while back. But we did most of 5 and all of 6 after the first lockdown. So that's a little bit more recent, feels a little bit, you know, more kind of what I remember anyway.
Yeah, was that interesting, you know, after 2 years jumping back in to the characters?
Yeah, I mean, I was quite worried after our first one, because we've had a few hiatuses. After the first one, that felt, I was a bit nervous about it because I'd felt like I'd had all of this prep months from the moment that I knew that I was playing the character to when we started filming the first episode. You know, I'd had a few months of build up and a lot of stunt training and just loads of time to let it percolate. And so much of the work in acting, for me anyway, is just subconscious. You know, you just kind of drop a little bit deeper down into the world every day as you live with it and you think about it, and it comes up just while you're walking around the place. You know, you're riding the tube and you're just thinking about that. And so by the time we found ourselves filming, I really felt like I was in Amalia's head and in the world of the Nevers. And then when we had our first break, it was for a few months, and I was worried about coming back in and just not having what that felt like, this, that, you know, bedrock of everything that I'd worked on. But actually, in reality, I think it came back pretty quickly. It takes about a week to get used to being in the corset again. in terms of like the psychology and everything, I was surprised about how quickly I could drop back in. I guess I should have known
riding
about
the
that
bike.
Actually. Yeah, and in theater that happens all the time. You know, you go, you stop for a few months, then you might transfer to the West End or Broadway or whatever, and you're back in that, and you do pick it up very quickly. So yeah, it is muscle memory.
For me, it's kind of I start off, I think, with this as well. I start off a bit slower, I feel like, and like as the episodes go on, I kind of gain momentum and I find out more things and discover more things. And I mean, in true Nevers fashion, there was quite a few things that I didn't know until we got the scripts for later episodes anyway. So I kind of felt like I was building Horatio, as well as having like kind of defined, you know, Horatio before I started. It was really kind of building him as we went along. So like Laura says, as soon as we got back into it, I had that same concern, like, oh, wait, hold on a second. I don't know Horatio anymore. We've had 3-6 months off. I have no idea. But as soon as we get back into the costume, wonderful costumes, and, you know, the set and just the dialogue and the richness of the whole world we're building, you kind of just have a lot to feed off, and you instantly just kind of snap back into
the
character.
Get back into the corset, right? Getting used to it.
Yeah, 100%. My corset is a waistcoat. I asked them to make it a couple edges tighter, you know, because after lockdown, you know, somebody had a little too many Oreos, you know. So I had to so just cinch it in a little. Yeah. I want to have what Laura's having. Yeah. I want my waist to look snatched like hers. Yeah.
Snatched. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Laura, between Stripe Amalia, Cover Amalia, and Molly, you've taken on a lot of different characterizations in the show. What was it like to be able to flex your different strengths and accents, and which was
your
favorite?
So good. Your American accent was so good. I thought it was fake. I thought it was a dub over your voice. It was so good.
Well, that's my American accent by way of Claudia's American accent. Claudia, who plays Stripe in the future. I got tapes off her of her doing the readings of all of my lines in those scenes, and then learned to do it her way. But the challenge is that obviously is I want to make my voice sound like hers, and I want to make my accent the same as hers, but I want to give it my own truth, because I can't expect Claudia in the 5 minutes that she's got to quickly record my lines to give it all the thought, the character thought that has to go into those lines. That's not her job. And so I've got to try and take what she does with it and then still give it my own truth to it. And that's where the challenge, I think, lay most of all.
So we kind of touched on it a little bit before, the relationship between Horatio and Amalia and then the chemistry that we love so very much. So Zachary, I'm curious for you, why do you think Horatio decided to leave the asylum and join Amalia? And do you think he's more dedicated to her or her cause?
I mean, the asylum, you know, it's a fun job and whatnot, but it wasn't really his destiny calling, really. So, I mean, asylum, go, Amalia. It's not really a hard toss-up. No, I think quite a high percentage of the patients in the asylum had turns, touched. So to even have that, and you see him questioning these things, like, okay, why does he have this power? He's not a woman, or insane, because there wasn't much knowledge about what was happening to everyone. So to see himself be amongst them, it's a scary proposition. And outside of just the fear of it, I think as much as Amalia at that time is very reticent to admit to herself, she is a beacon of hope. Yeah, and I think what Amalia signified for him was a sense of, okay, hope, this is not something to be feared, that there is a purpose for this.
This question is actually for both of you. Laura, we'll start with you. So the episode ends with a lot of setup for the future. What are you hoping to see in part two?
I daren't hope. I just like whatever they throw at me, I want to do it. To me anyway, the first six episodes, I feel like just gave us the bare bones of what are so many interesting characters and threads connecting them all, and their relationships with each other. So that's, but because we've built this world now, and that's really what needed to be done in these first six, was just like setting the stage almost. So now what I'm really looking forward to is getting to really dive a lot deeper into those, into who all of these individuals are. And with so many characters and with just six episodes, it's like there are so many people we still don't know so much about. And I'm really looking forward to, even just me, Laura, I'm looking forward to finding out a lot more about so many of the other characters that we've just kind of only at this stage been introduced to.
One thing the show is doing great as is showing, kind of representing different people from different walks of life. And I think in the next season, I'm looking forward to seeing, like Laura says, seeing them dive more into the backstories, of these different races and different genders, and going into the nuances of that. I think this series, as much as so much has been happening, they've cleverly found a way to give us a little taste of that, and I think the next part is going to be fun to watch, furthermore of the agency and the backgrounds into the characters like Bonfire Annie to Horatio to even Kieran's character, and Harriet, really looking into those, and Nimbles and looking into where they come from, what their day-to-day looks like, and how also they drive the story.
Well, let's end things on a fun little question that I have for both of you. So knowing that Amalia is actually from the future, this question is for both Laura and Zachary. If you guys could go to a different era, where would you go and why? And Zachary, let's start with you.
I would say I'd like to go back to the beginning, to like the Adamic era. So, and just like kind of go to Adam and Eve and like drop the apple so we can actually see what you know, so we can all just like actually chill in paradise and be what it like. Because funny enough, Mary's song reminded me of that. just the idea of taking away all the pain, you know. So I imagine, like, because the Adamic era was like, you know, there was no pain, no shame, no guilt, no nothing. So I imagine what it's like to just everybody walking around butt naked, just being like, hey, this is cool. Hey, yeah, Jerry.
You want to go back and change the entire course of humanity.
Hey,
Don't touch anything.
Don't judge
Zach,
me.
Zach, this is you going back to talking about Jesus again. And
go back to the beginning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is before Jesus. So.
True.
Nerd, Zachary. I really admire it. It's like I'm going to go back and change the entire story.
Yep.
I just want to chill. Yeah. I mean, we could all just chill, like, you know, like forget the war, forget the like, peace. Let's just actually just kick back.
I love that idea.
Hammock in between two trees. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Eat all the forbidden fruit. Yeah, just.
I think I'd quite like to be somewhere around 1969 because I think I was just made for the entire culture that was going on at that time. The music, people's attitude to living, just the kind of the general way of being at that point just kind of rings true to me. I think I'd have a great time in around about 1969. I think I'd be having a lot of fun.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and I identify with that. Yes, 100%.
Two very different answers, but we respect them both. Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us today. We're so excited to see what's next for Amalia and Horatio, and we really appreciate you being here and for chatting with us.
Yes, thank you guys so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much to Laura and Zachary for that interview. It's so much fun talking with them. If we had a whole episode dedicated to talking with them, we would absolutely jump on it. So hopefully we'll get to chat with them in the future. Now, ladies, let's wrap things up. What do you guys feel about learning the big truth?
Good question. I feel like I learned a lot of my questions were answered, and there is definitely a satisfaction there. Like, this episode did not disappoint, but there are also some new questions that have obviously risen up, and now I have a whole new hunger for those questions. But yes, this was an absolutely satisfying episode 6, and
absolutely.
And I think, you know, from what we've talked about, we've had some different ideas and different, you know, theories and thoughts on what we think it could be. And this makes sense, I will say. It makes sense. I understand it. I was shocked by some of it, but I'm on board. 100%.
How about you, Charlotte? What do you think?
Yeah, I'm with Jessica. I think it tracks. I was taken for a loop. And I was like, hold on, I need to sit down. And then once I did sit down and collect my thoughts, I was like, oh, yeah, this checks out. Because I feel like I had a handle on what the show was.
Yeah.
And now I realize I didn't. And I want to say I do now, but I really don't. And so, like...
Is that the best, though?
Yeah, no, it's like, I really enjoyed, like, the vibe with, like, the Victorian England. And I felt like that was a unique take. But, like, you know, at heart, I'm a sci-fi girl. And so, like, to see all this introduction of it just like widens the scope to an extent that I'm very excited to see what the next installment of season one brings, because like it's like the playing field has been like the fog has lifted, and it's shown that there is so much more room.
It's a good way to say it.
And potential for what this world can have in it. Like if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't think it was confined before, which I think it would be a testament to how open it feels now.
Yeah. So that's how we feel about the truth. How do you think everyone in the show is going to react to learning the truth about everything that's been going on, the touched, the Galanthi, all of it?
I mean,
in my mind, I feel like this is like too much to comprehend.
Yes. But at the same time, like at the end of this episode, Amalia straight up tells Penance, you know, like the fight is coming soon. So it's kind of like I'm going to tell you the truth, whether you believe in it or not, and you want to prepare for it or not, it's coming. So I hope you get on board.
Yep.
You know, it's going to happen one way or another. Or maybe not. I don't know. Or maybe Zephyr stops it. I have no idea. But, you know, in for a ride. So
be intense.
Yeah.
So another question I have is, at the end of the episode, we see Amalia have this massive rippling of all these visions. What do you guys think that meant? Do you think it's going to be important moving forward in the story? Or do you think it's just to give context, perhaps, about everything she's been through?
So I think, and this is probably wrong because, you know, I'm just completely probably off base. I can't help but think that she just got done having a very emotional moment with the Galanthi and talking to them, talking about why me, you know, I have a broken brain, like why me? And then, you know, she falls backwards and then the rippling happens and she does see kind of like her past lives all come together. I can't help but think that that was the Galanthi's way of communicating with her and letting her know, don't worry, I basically got your back. Just keep going. You've been through all of this. I'm going to make sure that you do keep going in whatever way that means. And that I'm supporting you. I got you. Just keep going forward, you know?
For sure.
That's my thought. I could be completely wrong. So
I think guidance. I feel like there was like some concrete stuff for Amalia, because like when Penance comes back and says, how was your thing? She's like, pretty good, actually. Like,
yes,
is the energy I'm getting. So yeah. I'm like, okay. Yeah. So I think it gave her something to step off of, right? Like she has like a good starting point that she did not before.
Yep.
Maybe get like kind of reminded her of what the mission actually is and what she's fighting for. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even remember everything I saw. Like, I could have paused it and like checked it out, but as I understand it, I feel like the whole thing was to be like, just bombard you with stuff.
Yeah.
And I'll just keep that dormant somewhere in the back of my head
until those
episodes start dropping. And I'll be like, okay. I'm wondering though if it's all like things that are going to happen, because there was like the scene of like Dr. Haig like drilling into her head, and I was like,
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
Would love to avoid that, because she hasn't ever really challenged the ripplings before.
Yeah,
she's true. Just kind she of it's like an inevitability,
find her way there or put herself in the situation where she will end up there, because she thinks it's what she has to do.
Yeah,
right. So what happens if she actively pushes against that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh no. I have no
and final
idea.
Question before we completely wrap up, do you think she's gonna start going by Zephyr? And do you want her to? I, for one, am undecided, because Amalia is such a beautiful name. But Zephyr is so badass.
Zephyr's cool. Zephmalia, probably.
I personally want her to go by Amalia, because for what we know, Zephyr has passed, so to say. She is now taken over a new body and just a new persona, identity, and is now Amalia. And I personally would love for her to stay on that train.
Well, we actually get an in-depth look at her past, or should we say future, in this clip that we're going to throw it to from the behind-the-scenes video, Creating the Nevers, Telling Time. Let's check that out.
We have a wonderfully flawed heroine in Amalia, and letting her be flawed is one of the things I think makes this show so powerful and so innovative and so unusual.
You said you were my friend!
I'm sorry. I didn't have a choice.
We've had a lot of anti-heroes. We've had a lot of really flawed heroes, a lot of heroes who are dealing with trauma, but they often aren't dealing with the really unattractive aspects of trauma, and we let Amalia go there at times.
I'm not
good. I've got issues you literally don't have names for yet.
You know what's coming and you care.
I did my time.
And I think that's really important.
All right, well, we hope you enjoyed that clip. If you want to check out the full video, you could watch it on HBO Max. Well, there, again, is so much to unpack from these first 6 episodes of The Never. Season 1 is split up into 2 parts and is a total of 12 episodes. But because, of course, this little thing called the pandemic, there has been some delays, and the producers felt like there was a natural break after the first 6 episodes, and so they decided to split it into 2 halves, which is why we're just covering the first 6 episodes right now. But it does really feel like such a wild and exciting place to break. I think we could all agree on that. Mm-hmm. So part 2, 6 episodes, will follow at a later date. They will be announced in the future. Also, some exciting news. Philippa Goslett will be the showrunner for the second half. So we're very excited to see what they do.
Ooh, just gives me something to look forward to. Can't wait.
I know.
That's cool.
And I do feel satisfied going into the second half as well. Like, I'm very excited to know what's going to happen next, but I'm also not sitting here just like dying. You know what I mean?
I know.
Waiting for answers.
If we didn't have that 6th episode until, like, if we had to wait for that one, I would have been just chomping at the bit. But the fact that we got that 6th episode that answers so many questions mm-hmm. we've had for these first half of the season,
mm-hmm.
I'm really happy, but it also makes me want more at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah, well, it kind of reframes the first 5 episodes. So I'm like,
yeah.
Am I gonna, should I watch it again and get added context? Like, it really does change so much about her character without changing it, like by lending some like clarity, like I said. I'm like, oh, okay. I get it.
Yeah. Thank you for watching and listening to The Touch Base, HBO's official podcast for The Nevers. We will see you next time. Please also subscribe to HBO's YouTube channel, follow The Nevers on Instagram and Facebook, comment with your favorite moments from the 6th episode and even the entire season. I want to hear them all. Please stream The Nevers and The Touch Base on HBO Max with all episodes available now. And also stay tuned for the next half of season 1 of The Nevers.